Good morning, everyone. I don't know if this is going to be a Cohen Meander recording or something else. We'll just have to see. I get bummed out easily. Let's not make this clinical. I just get bummed out really easy. Getting things pulled together. Really over my little Sandy car. It served me so well for, golly, about three years. About 130,000 miles on the car. Found out that one of the problems with the Mitsubishi car is that nobody wants to touch them. You know, when you go in for regular maintenance, they just kind of throw up their hands and go, I don't have anything to do with that. And, of course, the other cars were being used by other people, so I couldn't borrow another car while I was getting my car worked on. So there really never ended up being a chance to really get it worked on. I've been chastised a bit for not taking good care of my vehicles. And I'm not saying that they're wrong. In the end, you really have to have one car more than you really need so that you can use one car for, or just taking the place of one that's having to be worked on. I don't want to grouse. I don't want to complain. Says I've got this spare car. It isn't costing me much at the moment because I don't have insurance on it because it's sitting in an unrepaired state. A friend of mine worked on it. Said, well, yeah, we can do this, we can do that, that's only going to cost this much, and it's going to be, you know, and I'll do all the labor, and I can't be anything less than grateful for his attempts to do it, but apparently at the end of the day, it just isn't worth, I think, any more time and money being spent on it to try and bring it back from the dead when it gets down to it. But it's depressing. And it really affects me. You know? Probably the worst part was before my friend got involved, I was totally reconciled to getting rid of this vehicle. And I was okay with it. I was all right. Things were working out okay. I guess a lot of pent up hope. And I don't have tons of this stuff. You know, when it comes to hope and things like that, it's something that I have to somehow gin up. Anyway, so I was having problems yesterday. Was spending money, you know, and it's not a lot, but it's money. I, you know, when I spend money, I want it to have some kind of value. I'm not excited about throwing it to the wind, but I did through, you know, a little over $100 into fluids for a vehicle that it's just junk. It's just time to let it go, you know, and you go, oh, yeah, but somebody else who had time and interest and frankly, intelligence toward making this thing keep working. I don't know. I've been looking at vehicles. This is the absolute wrong weekend for anything. I've got meetings in Lubbock. I've got just a ton of things going on that really make me say I'm not excited for the possibilities when it gets right down to it. Honestly. I don't know. We shall see what comes of anything. This way, in any way. And, I've been looking at trucks for, I've never had any luck with trucks because, well, I don't know. I just never have. Every truck I've had, either my wife hated with a purple passion or they fell apart almost immediately after I purchased them. And it's usually tied to some friend of mine saying that they'll help me with it. Guys who know about being auto mechanics and stuff like that. And that's always kind of gone somewhat badly. Anyway, just like I said, I think I've got emotional issues, you know. I'm not God's gift to resilience. I am somewhat indefatigable, but I don't know. Thankful every day. He and I cling on to each other. Because I've never been the type that says, you know, you need to marry somebody who's like you. And you go, I disagree. I think you should marry somebody who has attributes different than yours. And somehow together you can have all the pieces that create a complete person. I don't know though. I really don't know. I don't think you really need to even go along with that about saying, well, we have tons of things in common. Lisa and I have one thing in common. That's our desire for exaltation. Although I have to say, for the motivations for it, I don't know what really motivates Lisa toward it, but it does. And she's around other people. Plenty of other people who just on a large level don't seem to particularly care about this. So So her Sunday church experience is really, it really kind of lacks for her. I don't know. I'm amazed by what people are willing to put up with. I don't know. I guess the things that are supposed to make somebody happy, you know, they don't really work on me particularly. But, you know, you have to do what you gotta do. I'm not writing particularly. I still do my little blog posts, but I've noticed over time less and less they're finished products and more it's just saying, here's something, you know, that, and then just throwing it out there, putting a picture on it, letting it go. I'm not a lovey-dovey sort, but I know that the kind of people that most of the church courts are that kind. These are our kind of people. This is what this is all about. You go, I'm not that other thing. I think for all the joylessness of it, I'm kind of a perseverance sort. But my perseverance, for my purposes, has to be connected to something reliable. Let me tell you, when the scriptures say, you know, don't put your trust in things that rust or rot or things like that. Vehicles are kind of that kind of thing for me. I finally have to get myself to a certain place and say, you know what, I'm gonna do this, you know. I guess my biggest hope was that vehicles would last until I didn't need them anymore. And I haven't gotten there yet. I have not gotten there. Got a little more than 4 years until Lisa has consented that I can retire or do something else or whatever. Not have a steady flow of money from a job. How about that? When they go, what are you going to do when you retire? And I go, I'm going to get back to writing. Right now, I come home and I'm just kind of there. And yeah, what is it? Well, you're doing the wrong things. And you go, yeah, but you know what? Money. I've got to make money. So that's what I do until the moment arrives when I don't have to. And so all of my current writing projects, except for the little bitty stuff, are mostly just kind of on semi-permanent hiatus until I can actually do something with it. You know, sit down and write. But I've got to, you know, I'm going to take care of this other thing. To be honest, it's just too much emotionally for me. So it's like, I just got to get rid of it. And you're going, what are you going to do? And you go, well, I'm going to end up getting a vehicle that I can, pardon me, that I can, it's pretty tough. I said, you know, I said, these wonderfully well-engineered vehicles are not for me. And you know what? I was just pinning my hopes on too much, and it didn't work out. And it's like, so what are you going to do? And you go, I don't know. They'll just, I don't know. I've been reading Godsend to Lisa, and it's an interesting thing. I think at the end of the day, it needs a much harder rewrite to make it work better with the other parts of the story that I've put together. You know, maybe that's something I can do while I'm waiting for actual time to write, is go back, and I had made some changes to it to try to fix it up. I think now I'll go ahead, make larger alterations so that it meshes better with, the one it really needs to mesh best with is prophecy. And, yeah, I can go back and work on that. Make Godsend a little more unified with what prophecy became. Change the title to Navigiary Godsend, or to Godsend, but make it a Navigiary story. Change some of the elements of it. There was a whole bunch about Westland running away from home when he was a young teenager. That isn't a feature of prophecy, and the question is, you want to alter prophecy to make it work with some elements of Godsend, and it's like, you know, I don't really want to. I really want to just take Godsend and make it work differently. That whole part has to be taken out, because that didn't really happen. There still comes a falling out between Westland and Davor, but it happens during that compressed time of prophecy, which is only, I don't know, probably just a few months. Some things get accomplished. Other things kind of fall apart. What else? I got my stuff so I can get in. Like, dude, okay. All right, I'm good. Getting into work. Job I have now. I have to remember that I've never made so much money in my life, and how much money I make now. Throwing it into investments, 401ks, I've got a, it's not really profit sharing. I'm buying stock in the company I'm working for now. I don't know how that's eventually gonna going to pan out for government services. I don't know, but I felt a need to do it. My Heavenly Father's with me. Anyway, so at this truck. It's a Ford Ranger. The last Ford Ranger I had was an absolute dog. Anyway, this is a V6. And I'm needing another vehicle anyway. I think it's only got 75,000 miles on it. 87 Ford Ranger. But I might take a day off on Friday, go up and look at it. I don't know what, because it would need a little bit of work to be a commuter. And you go, well, that's what I'm really in need of, is a commuter vehicle. That's a 5-speed manual. So it's like, well, I don't know. We'll see what I can come up with on it. I'm starting to babble now, so I should probably let this recording go. But yeah, I think after all is said and done, now that I've actually read through Godsend lately, I'm probably going to better harmonize it with better harmonize it with prophecy, which is interesting because prophecy hasn't been written yet, but just as well to get Godsend put together and put it back out there in a revised form. And that meets a little better with Escape. There isn't a lot of tie-ins for Escape. These tend to be generational books. Each one of them are kind of 18 years apart and feature, I don't know, a lot better, whatever. Better things. The first book talked about kind of the oppressiveness. Boy, these horses. I've never seen these horses here. One of them is just so excited to be alive. He's just running, having a good time. Huh. I really like more of the prophecy story arc for Westland. You know, it needs to give him some reasonable incentives for why he does what he does. That he hates the convocation of ladies for what it did to his mother. His father was kind of feeding off of it and and he was being affected by new friends, acquaintances, whatever, who were wanting to break free. And the interesting thing was, is that in doing that, we start planting the seeds for the conclave. And then I guess we kind of see the fruits of the conclave in God sent. Now I'm thinking about that car, about that truck. I don't know. Surely there's something that can be figured out here in Clovis. Anyway. So, no. If I'm going to do this, I better do it now. I want to get a vehicle that'll last me for a bit. So, I should look at Craigslist for here in town and see what we've got available here instead of one in Santa Fe, which is like, why am I going to Santa Fe? Silliness. Okay, well, I'll have to see what's available, what I can pull together. All right. So, yeah, work on Godsend to harmonize it with Escape and Prophecy. I'm not going to change a lot of it. Who gets picked up by Salvation? Nickel does. He's gonna go out and do this almost mission to the other side of this place. He's gonna have a special assignment. Try and take Zan home. Anyway, so I don't really know about family sovereignty. Oh.